He's the one that we are depending upon. He is the hope of the world. He's the hope of every generation. Amen? And it's so good to be able to know Him, to enjoy life through Him. It's good to see all of you today. Good to have visitors with us today. Good to have returning visitors. Good to have the church family return too. Jerry, welcome back briefly. Jerry's in the midst of transitioning from here to there. And God bless you in getting settled in your new home. And it's good to have Joe back with us today, back up and running. She hasn't quite made the 100-yard dash yet, but she's here with us. Praise God for that. Turn your Bibles over to the book of John, the Gospel of John, if you would. John chapter 12, we're looking at the last few verses in that chapter. I would encourage you, in regard to today's message, maybe take time to read Psalm 119. What's unique about Psalm 119? Longest psalm in our Bible, and it also all talks about the Word of God. And I believe that kind of applies to our message today. I want to focus in on Christ's words, our God's words today. One of the major failures of humanity throughout time and recorded in Scripture is our repeated failures to hear and completely obey the voice of God. This imperfection isn't just limited to our relationship with God, though. Have any of you perfectly understood your spouse or your parents or your friends or your neighbors? No? No? We have a lot of barriers. A lot of times things go wrong. We have misinterpretations of what are being said. In fact, in some cultures, a word in one group will mean one thing, and the word used in another group means something totally different. So communication is a challenge for us, understanding what is to be said. I find that in my own life, it affects my relationships with people. I can't tell you how many times I disobeyed my parents. I don't want to remember how many times I disobeyed my parents. They put up with me, and the Board of Education was quite active at our house. And I think it finally settled in, I hope, after all these years. But anyway, I found out that it didn't just affect my relationship with parents and my siblings. It also affected me at school. I remember in the fourth grade, I must have been daydreaming because I sat in the back of the room. None of you guys ever sat in the back of the room, did you? I sat in the back of the room in fourth grade. And we were supposed to be working on our multiplication tables. Well, my mind was on recess that was about 10 minutes away. And I wasn't thinking anything about the schoolwork. And as soon as that bell rang for recess, I was out the door. First one out the door from the back of the room. And I was clear out to the far end of the playground, enjoying myself, freedom. And I heard my voice, my name being called, David. I turned around and looked, and one of the classmates was coming, running out to me. The teacher wants to see you. Uh-oh. So back into the into the school classroom I went. And as soon as I stepped through the door, the teacher unleashed on me, "Who said you could go outside? You have not finished your multiplication tables. You get back to your desk right now and you sit there. You have lost your recess until you get all of your multiplication tables memorized." Yes, ma'am. It woke me up for a few minutes. That wasn't the only time I got into trouble at school. But anyway, I just remember that particular time. I was not listening to anything going on in the room. And evidently she had specifically said to all the class, if you have not memorized your multiplication table, you do not have recess today. Stay at your desk. I didn't hear any of it. I was gone until I got called back. And it's not just me that has that trouble. Many years ago, the British Railways was looking for a way to test the wind chills on their new locomotives. They were trying to figure out, how do we test these wind chills to see if they're going to withstand anything that hits them as we're flying down those railroad tracks? One of the guys in British Railways had heard that British Airways had a wonderful new test cannon that they used to test the windshields on their airplanes, on the jets. And so Airways was willing to lend them this special cannon. So they went and got it, set it up, and right before they were going to do this test on this locomotive windshield, they sent one of the guys out to buy a chicken. And he bought a dead chicken, brought it back, they stuffed it into the cannon, and lined it up, lit it up, boom! And it just shattered the windshield, tore the seat out of the engineer's cabin, and left a huge dent in the back of the cabin. Well, the British Railways, they were really upset. What kind of a cannon is this thing? How in the world do you test this out on jets? They called them up, and they gave them a railing, and they sent over one of their technicians to check it out. The cannon is fine. It works perfectly. Oh, by the way, next time you send somebody to go get a chicken, make sure it's not frozen. Little details kind of get missed. And if you don't follow exactly quite right, things can go wrong real quick. We see this happen over and over again in life, in family, with friends, neighbors. Little details get mixed in or out, and bad things can happen. But when it comes to God, does God give bad information? Never. He is perfect. He always gives exactly the right information. Where's the problem? It's in us. We don't always understand. We don't ask enough questions. We ignore some of the directions. Or we say, I don't even want to follow those directions. I'm not going to obey those. Total disrespect, total rebellion. John's gospel letter consistently reveals that Jesus is the promised Messiah and Savior. He's the Savior for all humanity. He's the one foretold in the Old Testament. He keeps all of His promises, all of His words in the New Testament. He is part of God, known as the Word of God, and John presents Him as that in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The Word became flesh, verse 14 of John chapter 1, dwelt amongst men. Psalm 119 talks about the Word of God. As you read through that, see how that Word applied reflects on what person? Jesus Christ. It's a reflection of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. In our text, Jesus is only days, possibly just hours, away from becoming the final sacrifice for all sin, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He will fulfill all of those prophecies regarding that redemption because He is part of God. His words are direct from God. Jesus was totally submitted to His Heavenly Father, even in regard to every word that He said. Take to heart the words of the Scripture recorded by the apostles, by other writers who were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words for us to understand, to take to heart, and to live by. The words of Jesus are the words of God. Too many people in our culture want to excuse away Jesus as just only a good teacher, only a strange guy, or even a lunatic, if you want to use that term. But he's not. He is God. And we need to obey all of his words. Would you join me in a word of prayer at this time? Father, help us as individuals to take to heart your scripture, to guard against any questioning, any neglect, any faultiness in our understanding of your will, of your truth, your word, and most importantly, of your Redeemer, your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to walk fully in submission to the words of Jesus, to take to heart, to understand, to be led by your Spirit in what is right, what is good, what is true, what is righteous, what is eternal, so that we might join you, not by our own merit, not by our accomplishment, but through the grace and mercy that comes in Jesus Christ. Guide us these coming moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in this passage that we're going to be looking at, John chapter 12, verse 44 through 50, there are some other factors that are very important in that passage too, and I encourage you, if you get totally bored with what I'm saying, think about the other passage, the other things in this passage. But take to heart this message, the importance of the words of Jesus being God's words, God the Father, the Almighty, because they are one. They are united in all things. Reading this passage from the New American Standard Translation, verse 44 and following. And Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. In Kids Beach Club, we're working on memorization, trying to get everything, the kids to memorize the scripture exactly as it's printed in their particular Bible that they're using, so that there's a consistency. Now the big challenge comes because we have all kinds of different translations normally in our households. We're using the same text, the same Bible in Kids Beach Club, but still, how many of those kids are getting those words exactly right in the right order? It takes work. Takes a challenge. How many of you want to go into a contest of Bible memorization? A lot of people say, not me. Why is that? Why is it that we don't want to learn God's Word? Why are we so afraid about memorizing Scripture? What is holding us back from eating, feeding on, drinking in God's Word? How else are we going to learn exactly what God wants us to do? I'm guilty. I'm just as guilty. I don't have time. I've got more important things to do. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Brothers and sisters, we need to take time with God's Word because it is our life. It is our future. We will be judged by the Word. So let's encourage one another. Let's motivate each other in a positive spirit. Please join me in reading, studying, memorizing the Word of God. Let's get down to our message. All that was free. You got that for free. Aren't you so happy? You got a bonus today. The first point I want to center into is the Word of God was contained in a human body. We have talked about this many and many times. People who invent things are constantly working at developing their thoughts and dreams into real functioning things. The invention of the wheel. Who came up with that? Well, we don't know the person. We don't know when it started. But somewhere along the line, somebody says, you know what? Things would move a lot better if we just had a wheel, whatever they called it then. How about your phones? Think back, for those of you who are old enough, when you were kids. Can you ever imagine that you would ever be talking into a little square box and sending pictures over this little square box? Oh, that only happened in the Dick Tracy comics, right? And yet here we are today depending on cell phones because people with imaginations and inventive qualities figured out how to work all this together to become actual things. And as soon as you go down and buy your new cell phone, it's already out of date because they've already come up with some new inventions to add to your phone, right? Anybody ever get frustrated with that? Anyway, we see this quality of people trying to dream up things that will function and actually work. And we're warned today to even watch out for this thing called AI, this artificial intelligence that will actually dupe us, that will trick us, that will fool us into thinking it's reality when it is not. Somebody's trying to take advantage of us. So here we have challenges of both reality of good things and also bad. Regarding Jesus, He is the Word of God that put on human flesh. He constrained Himself within a human body. Think about that. Almighty God placing Himself in the person of Jesus, the Son, into a human body, containing Himself. We read in Colossians that He is the Creator. He made everything for Himself, to worship Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him. And yet He came down into His creation as our Redeemer, as our Savior, constraining Himself within a human body to work among us as a very humble servant. Jesus lived perfectly by God's rules and principles. He was able to do this because He was both God and man. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus, even though He was a man, was God in human flesh. The Gospels of Matthew and Luke open up with more details about how God used the miracles in bringing the Son into this world as the Messiah through what we refer to as the Immaculate Conception, the Virgin conceiving and bearing the Son that was to be called Jesus, who would save us from our sins. In the medical field, that is impossible. But God is good at doing the impossible. And He did so with Jesus Christ. Jesus was God's light, helping people understand Scripture that had confused, those Scriptures that had confused even the wisest scholars. Nicodemus, one of the main leaders of Israel, sought out Jesus early in His ministry, wanting to get some answers to figure out who is Jesus. What are you teaching? This doesn't match what we've all been taught. The Scripture frequently mentions multitudes following Jesus, wanting to hear more because Jesus spoke clearly and with authority, and it made sense, whereas their local leaders were always just quoting the old stories, and they didn't really understand themselves what the stories meant, the old prophecies of the Old Testament. And yet Jesus was explaining it clearly so that the people could understand. Verse 42 mentions leaders struggling with their allegiance on whether or not to continue with the old traditions and the old leadership, or whether or not to follow Jesus. Unfortunately, they chose to follow the old path instead of putting their trust in Jesus at this point. We read in the book of Acts a great response that many of the priests became followers of Christ after His resurrection. Praise God for that. Jesus was claiming to be God through His teachings. His many miracles were very clear evidence that He had God's power, the divine power, creative power, but He also identified Himself as God's Son, the living water, the good shepherd, the vine, the foundation, and many, many more traits linked only to qualities that belong to God Almighty. For Him to teach all of that, He's either the biggest liar, or you better pay attention. Which is it? Unfortunately, a lot of people say, that's just His opinion. What? Look at the evidence. John finishes his gospel saying, I wrote this. I saw it. I experienced it. I'm writing it so that you can do what? Believe. So we will believe. The second point I want to bring out is accepting God's word leads people to eternal life. No other person can give us eternal life outside of God. Scripture clearly teaches that God is creator and owner of the entire universe, including every person in this world, including every person in this room. Amen? He owns us. He made us. He's the one that gave us life. He made us in His image, and He wants a relationship with every person. The Bible is a continuous story recording God's love for everyone if they will just obey His instructions. He is gracious and kind to give us not just life in this world, but eternal life. The words of Jesus give life to those who believe in Him. John chapter 6, Jesus is talking with a bunch of enemies, scholars, who were quizzing Him as to who He really thought He was. Jesus taught that He is the bread of life, and that belief in Him would quench human thirst. What? How in the world is Jesus the bread of life? How are you the living water? If somebody walked up to you and said that they were living bread and living water, and if you just ate from them, you'd be fine. Does that make sense today? It doesn't make sense today, and that's what the people of the first century were dealing with. What are you talking about, Jesus? He summarized that lesson in verse 63 with these important words. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Jesus clarified it to His disciples after that group conversation. Even His disciples were confused. And so Jesus made it clear to them, His words are spirit and life. If we will take time to eat them, drink them, spend time with the Word. The words of Jesus had restored life to many dead people. The most recent event was the resurrection of Lazarus, which is recorded in John chapter 11. We don't know the exact timetable, but it was just two, three, 4 weeks previous to this. And it was so astounding that everybody in Jerusalem had heard the story. They were seeing Lazarus walking around with this group of disciples following Jesus. If Jesus had the power to raise a man who had been dead for 4 days, wouldn't you pay attention? If his words are that powerful? And Lazarus was not the only one. Jesus had raised several people from the dead. He showed that his words had power. He clearly had powerful words of life to even raise the dead. And just in a few days, within the week, he will raise himself from the grave. I believe, my timetable may be off, but we are probably 1 or 2 days right before the Lord's Supper at the point of this reading. So we're within 4 or 5 days of Jesus conquering the grave, proving that he is life itself. He has life in his words. Believers of Jesus will live by his words in God's home, we are promised. The unity with God that was lost in the Garden of Eden will be restored to everybody who will put their faith and obedience in God's Redeemer. Who is that Redeemer? It's Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. God promised this reunion in the Old Testament multiple times through the prophecies. Some count over 600 prophecies regarding the Messiah. And Jesus filled the bill. He answered every prophecy with his being, with his life, with his coming. Everything about Jesus answered the prophecies. Jesus confirmed those promises, expanded on those promises of God. It illustrated them even further than what had been foretold. That leads to our final section regarding the warning. Rejecting the Word of God results in what? Eternal death. If people reject Jesus, the Word of God, they have chosen death. One repeated truth in the Scripture is that since God created everything, it all belongs to Him. He has the power to control everything. God gives us life so that we will worship Him. He has a tremendous amount of patience waiting for us to wake up, to follow directions, to get in track, to willingly obey Him. God has every right to punish or destroy any part of the creation that does not conform to His will. God holds life in His hand. He created it. He brought it into being. He can take it away. The only alternative for people not to live is death. During our physical life, we joke about two things, two sure things in life, death and taxes. Well, I would say that there's actually only one sure thing in life, because when you die, do you have to worry about taxes anymore? Nope. They're gone. And God has promised that there is something more to come. Is there going to be taxes in hell? I don't think so. Anyway, that's all speculation. Moving along, getting back to the point. During our physical life, you know, we joke about this thing, but in all seriousness, death is a very serious thing, isn't it? How many of us enjoy talking about death? We kind of steer away from that topic. We don't want to talk about death, but it's a reality. In spite of all the medical knowledge, the dieting, the exercising, or whatever, every person on this earth dies. Do you see any 700-year-old people walking around? Know of anybody? We're fortunate to see some people who make it to 100. I had an aunt that lived to 104. Had perfect hearing, perfect senses. She just couldn't see and couldn't walk anymore until God called her. The oldest person is how old today? 120, 25, somewhere in there. But then what happens? You die. And it's not just people. It's animals. It's bugs. Aren't you glad the bugs die? Vegetation. Anything that has life, eventually death takes it. But the Old Testament Scripture and Jesus teach that there is also an eternal death for those who reject His teaching. A lake of fire, it's described. A place of darkness, of gnashing of teeth, and many other descriptive terms. Of a place you don't want to go. A lot of people talk about, oh, there's hell on earth. No, you have misery on earth, but hell is beyond anything we can imagine. You don't want to go there. And yet people joke about it. They ignore it. They mock it. And Jesus says, no, it's real. It's real. The Son of God is returning to punish His enemies. He came the first time as the humble servant. A humble servant who served all of humanity. He took all sin upon Himself at the cross. Not just your sin and not just my sin, but all sin. He paid for the life of every human being. The best to the worst. In that way, all people are accountable to Him, the Word. Everybody. Colossians chapter 1, read it. Scripture says, the Revelation gives us the picture of Jesus returning on a mighty steed with a sword. Where is that sword that Jesus bears? It's coming out of His mouth. The sword is the Word of God that will judge us. It will strike down all rebellion. Jesus' words will be the guide used to condemn the lost. All who have rejected God's living bread and living water, the water of life, the bread of life, Jesus, they have intentionally chosen death to receive the penalty promised to Satan and the powers of darkness. God doesn't force them. God invites them through Jesus to come to life. But when you turn your back on the only hope, they have intentionally chosen death. And Quantum doesn't want anybody to receive that. Quantum says it's time to wrap it up, Dave. The words of Jesus are the words of God, calling for people to come to His eternal life. There are no second chances. Once you die, you will receive the ramifications of how you live. If you live for God, live for Jesus, God promises you everlasting life. Those who have rejected Jesus, they have nowhere to turn but to their boss, their master, their king, Satan. And where is Satan ending up? The lake of fire. Obey the words of Jesus now and receive the eternal life. Delve into the Word of God so you know what He wants you to know. So you can live by the standards He gave us. Don't depend on me. I forget things. I misunderstand things. God, He's perfect. Follow Him. In behalf of the elders, Robert, Ted, Raymond, and myself, we want to remind you that we're here to help you. We're here to support you, to encourage you, to help you meet your needs. In a sense, we are your helping hands. And so we want to remind you that if you ever need time to talk about something, you have some challenges, you need somebody to pray with, somebody to get some counsel from to face your challenges, we're here to help you. We want to help you. We pray for you. You're in our thoughts. You're in our prayers all the time. And if you have needs beyond counseling and prayer, we're here to help, trying to do what is possible as God provides. So please, take confidence in your elders and pray for us as we try to do the will of God. Please feel free to speak with any of us at any time. Give us a call. Catch us by the collar and corner us, whatever you need to do. But we are here for you. Let's all practice the love of God as we look to each other's needs, each other's concerns, our challenges, the sin that afflicts us on every side. Let's be the people of God. Amen. Again, it's good to see all of you here. Get into your Word. Get into your Scripture. Force yourselves. Challenge yourself to do a little bit of study, extra memorization. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for your great love, your fulfillment of all the promises of sending a Redeemer in your Son, in the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Help us to live for Jesus. Help us to walk in your path. Let us be true to your Scriptures, obeying the Scriptures, finding guidance there. Help us to be open to your Spirit's guidance, those spiritual qualities that He wants to give to us and strengthen and enlarge beyond what we imagined. Father, we thank you and praise you that you are with us through Jesus. Guide us and direct us. We pray for those who need to make commitments, those who need to make changes, for all of us to overcome the sinfulness in our lives, that we would honorably represent Jesus Christ, Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. Guide us and direct us as we go from here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.